our time that we have this evening, if you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, tonight we're going to focus in on three I am statements of the Apostle Paul. We know that these statements are true of the Apostle Paul because they are spoken under inspiration, but I want you tonight to consider whether these statements would be true of your own life as well. So the three I am statements of Paul, Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading at verse number 14. It says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord as we dive into this passage this evening. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the call that you've placed on our life to reach souls in Hungary. Lord, I thank you for the other missionary families here that are burdened about other fields as well. But Lord, all of us are in this together, trying to bring glory to your name by reaching people for your kingdom. And Lord, I feel my own inadequacy this evening. I just ask that you would speak through me at this time, that you would help us to obey what you show us from your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will be brief this evening. Pastor told me that you always close your service by 9 o'clock, so we don't have a lot of time. So the first I am statement of the Apostle Paul is, I am debtor. Well, who was the Apostle Paul a debtor to? Obviously, we know that he was a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So Jesus has given everything to us. We have eternal life because of what he's given to us. And it's only right that we give him our lives back. We owe everything to the Lord Jesus. So I know that Paul knew that he owed everything to Jesus. But you know, in this context here, it's primarily not talking about Paul's debt that he had to the Lord, but it's talking about the debt that he had to people around him. Specifically, the Romans. We know that Paul wanted to get there and share the gospel with the people at Rome, but he recognized a sense of debt to the Roman people. God had called him in verse number 1 of the passage. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. God had called him to be an apostle. We know that Paul was called to reach the Gentiles, and he had a sense of debt that he owed the gospel to everybody. We know Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Every single person needs to hear about Jesus. Now, Paul, we know, had a sense of debt to share Jesus with the world around him. But how about us? Can you say that you have a sense of debt for the lost world around you? How about the people that you know? The people that you know well? You know, each one of us has a circle of influence. You may have coworkers that you work with. You may have family members that you're connected with. Whatever different business opportunities, or you know who's in your circle. Do the people in your circle of influence know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you love Jesus? Have you gone out of your way to try to share Jesus with them? Do you recognize that because Jesus has saved you, that you have a debt to share him with them? I am debtor, the Apostle Paul says. And we're debtors to the whole community around us, of course, but we have to start right with the people that we know and look for opportunities to share Jesus with people that you could say that we care about. We don't want to have blood on our hands at the judgment seat from people that we had connections with, but yet we never shared Christ with them. We have to recognize that we have a sense of debt to reach people with the gospel. My wife and I feel like we have a debt to reach the Hungarian people. I have no idea how this could be possible, but we really want to be able to share the gospel with, not us personally, but we want to see everyone in the whole country of Hungary have an opportunity to hear the message of salvation in their lifetime. And that is, there's a big work that needs to be done there. In fact, my wife and I calculated at one point that if her and I both share the gospel with 10 people every single day, just in the city of Budapest, it would take us 233 years to speak to every person in the city of Budapest. And obviously there's more people being born all the time too. So if anyone feels like you want to come and work in Hungary, we can use the workers over there. So we sense a debt to those people, and we need more help to get that job done. But I hope that you have a sense of debt to the lost around you as well. So I am debtor, Paul says. The second I am statement of the Apostle Paul, he says, I am ready. I am ready to preach. You know, this word here, ready, is actually translated from two different Greek words. So this one actually has the idea of being eager. So the other one, by the way, is somewhere where it says in Corinthians where Paul said that he was ready to go and die at Jerusalem. Of course, Paul was not eager to go and die at Jerusalem. But in this case, he was very eager to go and share the gospel to the people at Rome. In fact, he'd been hindered some different times from being able to get there, and he was ready to go and preach the gospel to them. He was eager. So can you say about yourself that you are eager to share the gospel? Can you say that you're ready and eager to share Jesus with people around you? I know we live very busy lives, and it's very easy for us to just go about our business, doing what we need to do, and really not considering much else except for what you're trying to get done. But you know, we should be ready. And we should be looking for opportunities to share Christ with people around us. So one way that you can make sure that you're ready is make sure you carry some gospel tracts on you when you go out different places. You know, the Lord may not want you to share a gospel tract with every single person that you see, although I don't think he would be upset if you did. But at least have some with you so that if the Lord were to prompt you to share with someone, that you have a tract with you. That's one practical way that you can make sure that you're ready to share Jesus with others. A gospel tract could be an excellent bridge into a gospel conversation with somebody. And if you don't have more time, you can give that to them, and they have a way to be able to read about the word for themselves and start to think about these things. So I am ready, Paul says. He was eager. Are we ready? Are we eager to share Jesus with the world around us? Sometimes it takes intentionality, maybe not sometimes, probably all the time. It takes intentionality for us to be ready to share Jesus with others. You know, it's likely, it could happen, but it's likely that you're not accidentally going to find an opportunity to share Jesus with your coworker. You're going to have to look for an opportunity. You're going to have to try to make a bridge to be able to turn a conversation from something that you are talking about to talking about the things of God. Look for opportunities and reach out to the people in your circle of influence. Be ready to share Jesus with everyone everywhere we are. So I am debtor, Paul says. I am ready. And the third I am statement of the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed. Let's read verse 16 again. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I think that no one in here would say that you have any reason to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I mean, Jesus' gospel, first of all, it's his, it's God's, it's Jesus' gospel, it's his good news. But also, it has power, and it has power to save. There is no reason that we need to be ashamed of the good news message of Jesus. That someone is born into sin, condemned by default. But if they put their trust in Jesus and what he did for them on the cross, they can have their sins forgiven. They can be transferred from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God. They can have everlasting life. That is great news. And there's nothing that we need to be ashamed of in that message. I had traveled on a youth evangelistic team, I think four different full tours. The last one is when I was with Ramona, and I guess I decided to retire at that point. But it was many different times we saw young people who are obviously not saved. Sometimes they would be, you'd be hear the preacher preaching about sin, and these young people would just be laughing or, you know, joking around with their buddy. But, you know, as the gospel was preached, I saw some people who looked like they didn't care at all at the invitation time actually stand up to their feet right next to their friends and walk to the back to find out how they could have eternal life. Because the gospel has power. It just needs to be proclaimed. And then anyone that believes it, it will save them. It's an awesome, powerful message that we have. And, you know, we don't have lots of time here to get into all the different reasons, you know, but what are some reasons that we are ashamed of the gospel sometimes? Because Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," but yet we know that we're not always as bold for the Lord as we should be. We know none of us would probably say, like, "Yes, I'm ashamed of Jesus," but when it comes down to practically how we live, a lot of times we keep silent when we really could speak up. And I think one of the major reasons is because we have a fear of rejection. You know, you're concerned that if you hand someone a tract, they might look at you funny. If you ask them if they know that their sins are forgiven, if they know they have eternal life, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And we're afraid of that rejection. You know, a lot of countries and places suffer a lot more persecution than us. But it's a real thing that we face here in the States, is having this fear of being rejected. Well, if you think about, imagine that a hotel building caught on fire. You happen to be in this hotel, and you realize the building is on fire. You're running out of the building, and you realize that there's still some people in some of the rooms that have no idea that there's a fire in the hotel. This would have to be assuming that it wasn't this century, probably, and the sprinklers weren't going off and things like that, and the alarms. But imagine that there was a fire in this hotel, and people didn't know. Now, usually, it would be really strange for you to come and bang on someone's door and yell at them through the door, right? I mean, I would be a little bit creeped out if someone did that in my hotel room. But the situation would change, though, if there was a fire and someone was warning me about it. If you were to bang on someone's door and say, "Hey, there's a fire in the hotel," and there really wasn't, well, that would be really stupid and foolish and probably illegal. But if there was a fire in the hotel and you knocked on their door and said, "Hey, there's a fire, you got to get out of here," you know, at first they might wonder, "Why are you banging on my door? Why are you yelling at me?" But, you know, I guarantee you that once they leave their hotel room and make it down safely and avoid those flames, they're going to be grateful that you took the step and told them that you went out of your way. You didn't just run out of the building. You knocked on their door and said, "Hey, there's a fire, get out." You warned them, and they're going to be thankful to you. You know, with sharing the gospel, you know, sometimes people may look at you funny when you try to share Jesus with them. But, you know, if they do put their trust in Jesus and realize that they've been transferred from death unto life, and that you went out of your way to look like a fool, you could say, to share Jesus with them, they're going to be eternally grateful that you took the time to share this glorious message of the gospel with them. So I am debtor, I am ready, I am not ashamed. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you have decided to use us in the Great Commission, in sharing you with other people. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be more bold in sharing you with other people. Lord, we all could, we all need your boldness. We all need your grace every single day. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to recognize the debt that we have to share you with others, and help us to be ready and help us to not be ashamed of your message. And I pray that you would allow us to bring glory to your name through our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.